Welcome to the Deep Dive. We dig into sources to get you informed fast. Today, we're tackling wealth creation, financial well-being, really practical stuff.
Yeah, the core lessons.
Exactly. Our source is a really interesting blog post sharing 60 years of wealth-building lessons from Powers Investment Management, LLC. Just out, July 28, 2025.
60 years. That's a lot of perspective.
It really is. And our mission here is to pull out the absolute key insights from those decades,
yeah.
Sort of a shortcut to understanding personal finance and, you know, those big life choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's unpack this.
What's fascinating here right off the bat is that this isn't some like get rich quick thing.
No, definitely not.
The author is really clear. These are foundational principles. It's wisdom gained over, well, decades. And they even include the mistakes, which is valuable.
Yeah, what not to do.
Exactly. So you can avoid them. It's about building something solid, something that lasts.
And speaking of lasting, the author kicks things off with something pretty profound.
The partnership point.
Yeah, the power of partnership. They argue that one of the most critical life decisions, it isn't college.
Mm. Not college.
It's who you choose to marry. I mean, that makes you pause, right?
It really does. And the reasoning is solid. A strong partnership, it can propel you forward.
Propel you forward. While a bad one,
it can derail everything.
A whole thing. And that analogy they use about researching a car for months.
Mm-hmm. Spending all that time on a car.
But then maybe rushing into relationships without quite the same, you know, long-term deep dive. It's quite a comparison.
It is. And the source really stresses that marriage, well, it's more than just romance.
Right.
It's framed as partnership, shared values, and mutual growth. That's the core.
Partnership, values, growth. Makes sense.
When you look at it over 60 years, yeah, it's less about just personal feelings and more like a strategic life decision. Affects everything. Finance, well-being. It's foundational.
That totally clicks.
Mm.
And building right on that idea, the source then talks about building a solid foundation before you start a family.
Yes, that's a strong recommendation.
They use this phrase, one plus one, one, meaning two actively engaged parents create better outcomes for children.
That's a really key message. The advice is pretty direct. Make sure you have that solid foundation, both in the relationship and financially.
Before kids.
Before kids, yeah. The author really emphasizes that waiting until you're, you know, married and financially secure drastically increases your chances of giving kids the opportunities they deserve.
It's about setting them up for success, not just scrambling.
Exactly. A stable environment from the start.
Makes sense. Then there's a shift. Talking about slowing down. This was interesting.
Oh, yeah. The pressure on young people.
Totally. The author calls the idea that you should have life figured out at 18 absurd. Just flat out absurd.
It kind of is when you think about it.
Right. And they share this story about Chris's daughter, Laura, wanted to build rockets at age 5. Which, okay, is amazing.
Amazing, sure. But as they say, not normal. Not typical.
Not typical. And the point is, rushing into college or a career path without really knowing yourself or what it involves, that's often a costly detour.
It really can be. Financially, emotionally, time wasted.
So this raises a big question, doesn't it? Why do we push kids so hard to decide everything so young?
Yeah, it's a societal pressure. But the author's advice from that long view is to take time. Explore, work different jobs, maybe.
Dig your things out.
Refine your understanding of what truly interests you. That's how they put it. It's an investment, really, in self-knowledge. Prevents those costly mistakes later.
That ties perfectly into their views on education itself.
Okay.
The mantra, the more you learn, the more you earn.
Yeah.
Classic. But, and this is the key part from those 60 years.
It's not just any learning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not just about sitting in a classroom. It's about the kind of education that builds real competency, real value.
And they give great examples. People earning good money without necessarily having a four-year degree.
Right. Skilled tradespeople. Plumbers, drywall folks especially, they note, in places like Florida where demand is high. Electricians, landscapers.
But also, you know, the traditionally educated ones too. Aerospace engineers, physical therapists, business owners. It's a mix.
The point isn't degree versus no degree.
No, the core concept is getting competency. Whether that's through trade school, apprenticeships, getting certifications, or, yeah, a university degree.
Competency is the goal.
That's it. The author mentions their own path involved advanced degrees and professional certifications. So it's about the skill, the knowledge you gain, not just the paper.
It really flips the script on the traditional college is the only way. narrative emphasizes actual value.
Definitely.
And sticking with earning. The source takes aim at young adults who hesitate to just start working.
Yeah, the endless choices and unrealistic expectations trap.
Right. They're pretty blunt. Waiting for the perfect opportunity is a mistake. Why do you think that's so common, that waiting?
Well, I mean, we see highlight reels everywhere, right? Instant success stories. But reality, especially over 60 years of observation,
doesn't work like that.
Not usually. The author's point is that any first job, even a small one, teaches huge lessons. Responsibility, work ethic.
Financial independence, even if it's small.
Exactly. It builds character, resilience. The big takeaway here is earning a paycheck, even a small one, matters far more than waiting for ideal conditions.
Just get started. Build momentum.
Build momentum. That's a perfect way to put it. Practical experience.
Okay, so you're earning. Now you need to understand the money itself.
Financial literacy. Crucial.
The source says, money isn't just for spending. It's a tool that shapes your future. And then laments that, well, this stuff isn't really taught in most schools.
Sadly true. It's often learned the hard way.
So since this is so foundational, what small habits does the author point to for someone just starting out?
They list a few key ones, small things that compound, like actually learning to budget.
Knowing where it goes.
Understanding credit and debt properly. Not just using it, but understanding it. Investing early, even small amounts.
Yeah, and the big one.
Avoiding lifestyle inflation. That's huge. Just because you earn more doesn't mean you should spend more. That discipline.
That discipline is everything. These aren't just tips. They're like the absolute building blocks.
Foundational habits.
Which brings us right to the core. Saving and investing.
The heart of it all.
The advice is almost deceptively simple. It's not how much you earn. It's how much you save and invest.
Seems obvious, right? But hard in practice.
They warn pretty starkly that living beyond your means leads to financial stress, debt, and unnecessary hardship. Why is that simple advice so hard for people?
That's a great question. And I think that's where the 60 years of seeing patterns comes in. The concept is simple, sure. Save consistently, live within your means. But actually doing it means fighting against, well, everything. Advertising, wanting things now, comparing yourself to others.
Keeping up with the Joneses?
Exactly, societal pressures. The author's advice cuts through it. Build wealth by saving a consistent portion of your income, period.
And the golden rule.
If you can't afford something, don't buy it. It sounds harsh, maybe, but it's about that discipline again, countering those immediate desires for long-term gain.
A discipline you absolutely need for retirement planning.
Oh, definitely. The author is very direct here.
No punches pulled. There's no cavalry coming to save you. Oof.
Stark, but realistic. They point out pensions are mostly gone, Social Security. It's uncertain, right?
So what's the action plan?
Start early. That's number one. If your company has a 401k match, take it. All of it.
They call it free money.
Because it is. And then trying to increase your contribution each year, even a little bit.
And critically, don't touch it.
Absolutely critical. Don't dip into retirement funds unless it is a genuine life or death situation. They warn it means setting yourself back years. Years of compounding growth lost.
Makes sense. Can you quickly recap the tools they mentioned, the IRA types?
Sure. So a traditional IRA, you put money in before taxes. It lowers your taxable income now, which is nice. You pay taxes when you take it out in retirement.
Okay.
A Roth IRA, you put money in after taxes, so no tax break now. But the huge benefit is all your qualified withdrawals in retirement are completely tax-free.
Nice if you expect to earn more later.
Exactly. Tax-free growth and withdrawals. And then the employer 401ks, especially with the match, are just vital. An overarching theme. Diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Spread the risk. Good advice.
Okay.
Beyond stocks and bonds, they also mentioned real estate.
Mm-hmm. Tangible assets.
First piece of advice. Invest in owning your home. Makes sense. But they add caveats.
Important ones. Don't buy in crazy overpriced markets. Make sure you can actually afford it comfortably.
Right. Not stretching yourself thin.
And understand the long-term costs. Maintenance isn't cheap. Property taxes add up. It's not just the mortgage payment.
Good reality check.
Right.
And then they broaden out to general real estate investing.
Yeah. Rentals, maybe flipping houses, commercial properties. They note it tends to offer stable returns over time.
Suggestion is to start small.
Yeah. Owning one rental property is mentioned as a manageable way in. It's another pillar you can build for wealth. Generates income, potentially appreciates.
Okay. This all sounds very sensible, long-term focused.
Mm.
But then they hit you with something else.
The curveball. Calculated risk.
Yes, embracing calculated risk. And this line. Wow. Far too many dreams die unused.
That word of stuff.
And that image. The cemetery is the wealthiest place on the planet, full of ideas never pursued. That just sticks with you.
It's meant to. It's a jolt. Right. A call to action.
So what's the practical takeaway from that imagery?
It's about encouraging you to take calculated risks. Not reckless ones, but considered ones. In your career, maybe with investments, personal growth.
Don't just play it safe forever.
Right. And understanding that failure, it's not final. It's part of the process. Learn from it. Adapt. Move forward. Don't let the fear of failing keep those ideas buried.
It connects the money stuff to just living a fuller life, really.
Absolutely. It's a philosophy.
So what did this all mean? If you boil down these 60 years of lessons, what's the formula?
The author actually gives one, a simple formula for success.
Okay, what is it?
It's education, formal or informal, smart financial choices, a strong life partner, hard work and calculated risks.
Education, smart money, good partner, hard work, smart risks. Covers all the bases we talked about.
Pretty much sums it up. And the final message ties it together. College degrees don't determine success. Choices do.
Choices do. Love that. And that financial security, it's not some impossible dream.
No, they firmly state it's within reach for anyone willing to take charge of their future. It's about agency, taking control.
A really empowering message after all the practical advice.
It is. But then there's one more layer. Uh-huh. This raises an important question, thinking about the purpose of it all. If you achieve that financial security, build that wealth, then what?
Right. What's the end game?
The author ends with this powerful statement. Your greatness is not what you have, it's what you give.
Wow. Not what you have, what you give.
Yeah. And they follow it by listing charities they support. So it makes you think, maybe true financial mastery, true wealth, isn't just about accumulation. Maybe it's also about having the capacity and the will to give back, to make an impact, defining wealth beyond just your own balance sheet, something to really consider.